Hi there and welcome into Sight and Sound Technologies podcast, our occasional look at the world of technology and to tell you all the exciting things that we're doing and your go-to source for all things tech, or at least that's what we hope. Anyway, this is episode number 7 and I'm Stuart Lawler. Indeed, welcome in and thank you for downloading and subscribing to our podcast. Hope you're going to stay with us for the next 30 or so minutes because it's all about people on this month's edition. The most valuable resource any company can have are its people, and we're delighted to have had two great people join us in the last month. Sharon Lyons is a trainer based in our Dublin office. She's just started with us and she'll tell us about herself and share some shortcuts for Windows Mail. And Carla Owen is our new sales and marketing manager. She'll be telling us about herself and her job. That's all coming up on this edition of the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. Well, you are very welcome into our podcast. It seems a while since we were with you, but today I'm actually sitting in our Dublin office here in Drumcondra. We've talked about our Dublin office before on the Child Vision campus, and it's all about introducing new staff members to Sight and Sound this month and new members to our extended team. And joining the Dublin team a couple of weeks ago, we were delighted to have Sharon Lyons, who's with me today. Sharon, welcome.
Hi, Stuart. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Welcome to Sight and Sound.
Thank you.
Podcast. It's great to have you with us. Now, it's probably, we should say, Sharon and I have worked together in previous lives.
Yes.
Have been on previous podcasts as well.
Yes.
So, Sharon, just, I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing at Sight and Sound.
Well, as you know, I used to work for NCBI and we did a lot of stuff there with podcasts and shortcuts. And then I kind of broke out on my own and started up Sharon's Shortcuts just to support people who use keyboard access on PCs. And my idea was to create a website and a mailing list for anyone, really. So the shortcuts that I was doing was all standard shortcuts. And it's proved very successful. I've got about 300 people on my list now, and then the opportunity came up to come and work with Sight and Sound, who are generally big fans of Sharon's Shortcuts, and I think they're all on my mailing list. And so we're gradually converting the whole world to use keyboard shortcuts, which has got to be good. And they're very supportive, so I'm continuing with the Sharon Shortcuts website, which is sharons-shortcuts.ie. And on the main page, if you scroll down, there's a place where you can put in your email address and tick a box for GDPR and join the mailing list. And that means you get a shortcut every week on a Monday morning to start your week and for you to play with during the week. At the moment, we're just finishing off Microsoft Outlook. One of the main things about keyboard shortcuts is remembering them all. So if you can do one at a time, it's a bit easier.
I love the Monday morning shortcuts. It arrives on my inbox just before 9. And as you said, start your week. And it's usually, I have to say, because you've been talking about Microsoft Outlook, as you said, on the calendar for the last few weeks, which is something I use every day.
All the time,
Outlook calendar,
yeah.
And I have it synced to my phone. And there's some really good keystrokes in the last few weeks that I've been using to navigate around the Outlook calendar.
Yeah.
It's really good.
In fact, I've been using the one from Monday. I've never really used it last Monday. I've been using it all week.
Brilliant.
Myself.
Yeah.
Which was just jumping from week to week. I think it was in month to month.
Yeah, it's great.
Alt up and down arrows.
So if you're interested in shortcuts, do join the Sharon's Shortcuts mailing list. Were you always a shortcuts person, even prior to working with people with sight loss?
Well, I wasn't actually. Now, I learnt to touch type when I was about 17, and I have to say it's one of the best skills I ever learnt. So I was kind of always kind of had my hands on the keys. And when I got into using keyboard shortcuts, I think I probably used, you know, your Control-C, Control-V, Control X, you know, the copy, cut and paste, but I didn't really know a lot of the others. And I just found that I was more in control of operating a computer with the keyboard shortcuts than with the mouse, because the mouse, even if you can see it fine, you still have to kind of take your hand off the keyboard, position it wherever you want it, and then start clicking or whatever you need to do, you know. So there's a certain amount of fiddling about with the mouse, and I think if you learn keyboard shortcuts, it actually takes that time out if you can just instantly do a shortcut, and I think actually it's more productive.
Okay, and I suppose I should also say that we're going to have regular slots with Sharon on this podcast. Sharon's Shortcuts is returning to this podcast. We'll have little tutorial pieces, quick ways for you to use some of our some of the software, of course, that we sell and support, plus some great, exciting Windows and other applications shortcuts. So very much looking forward to that. And if you have questions or there's something you'd like us to cover, remember podcast@sightandsound.co.uk is our email address. Get in touch, because we love to hear from your feedback. So Sharon, today we're going to just, I suppose, briefly look at Windows Mail, which is one of those applications. I have to say I've never used it because I use Office. But if you don't have Microsoft Office, you don't have a subscription or whatever, it's a great free alternative.
It is, yeah. I've just been playing with it there with JAWS 2019, and it actually, the request actually came in from one of my shortcut fans in Malta, Anthony.
Wow.
So hi Anthony, thanks for this suggestion. He was saying, okay, he uses Outlook a lot, but he was saying, well, what if I didn't have Outlook, or what if I was stuck or had a problem with my Outlook? Could I use Windows Mail as a kind of backup email? So I thought this might be a good topic to cover on this podcast in a few parts. So so I can kind of show you how to get set up, first of all.
That's a good idea. And Windows Mail comes by default in Windows 10, is that
it
right?
It does.
So you have it, so you get it when you get your Windows
10.
Yeah,
whether you like it or not.
Okay, that's great. So definitely, as Anthony says, and it's a good point, if you didn't have Microsoft Office or something happened and maybe you don't have your subscription anymore or whatever, here's another way that you can access your email.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, it's not as kind of seamless as Outlook, I find, so it's a little bit of getting used to. But generally, there are a lot of shortcuts that are similar, which is good. So I'll give it a go, shall I?
Brilliant.
So the way I open Mail is just I press the Windows key.
Search box edit, type a text.
And then I just type Mail,
M-A-I-L. Mail, trusted Microsoft Store app.
And it calls it a Microsoft Store app. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of...
So it'll have this slightly new Windows 10 feel about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it will, yeah.
But actually, and it's funny because I know that Freedom Scientific have actually done a lot of work in making sure that JAWS works well with Mail. So it's definitely a good alternative.
Yeah, that's great. It's good to know. So I'll press Enter on that.
Enter message list messages multi-select list box unread sale feeds highlighted colon.
Okay, this is my home email that I've already set up, so there's a kind of some strange stuff in there, like beads and gardening and different things like that. So it's opened actually on my inbox. But if you hadn't set up your, I set up my email like Blue Peter has already done. But I'm just going to show you how to add your account, because it's really easy. So I'm going to, now if you opened it up and you hadn't set up your email, that you would just tab to a button called Manage Accounts, and you press Enter, and then you press Enter on Add Account. But I just have to go into settings to do that. So I'm going to tab.
Loading. Navigation. New mail button. All accounts button. Folders button. Switch to calendar button.
I just have to tab around a little bit here.
Switch to people. Switch to the dash to button. Settings button. To activate
press
space bar.
Now, you know, JAWS always says to activate press space bar. I tend to press the enter, which usually does the same thing. And then if enter doesn't work, I press the space bar. But generally I do enter.
Enter settings, manage accounts button to activate, press spacebar.
So we have a manage accounts button. So that would be there. You tab to that straight away when you first set up Windows Mail. So you don't have to go into the settings to do this to get started. So I'll press enter on manage accounts.
Enter, manage accounts, account list, list box, Yahoo, Zalliant at yahoo.com.
So I have my Yahoo account set up on here. But if I arrow down, if I tab.
Link inboxes button to act, add account button to activate, press spacebar.
So we've got add account button, and I press enter on that.
Enter, add an account, list box, outlook.com, outlook.com, live.com, hotmail, MSN.
So you can set up, there's a whole list of different things you can set up here. So I could set up an Outlook account.
Exchange, Office 365.
An Office 365 account.
Google.
And then we've got Google.
Yahoo. iCloud.
iCloud. So I'm going to go to Google. Right, so say I wanted to add my Google account into Windows Mail as well. I press enter on that.
Add an account connecting to a service. Dialog window, host window, document, email or phone edit, type in.
So I type in my username for my Gmail account, and then I tab. Well, I could probably just press enter, actually.
Enter. Enter your password, password edit.
And then I have my password.
Password edit, type in text. Star. Star, 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 star. Star.
It's hard to remember all the passwords we have to manage now, yeah.
And press enter.
To continue, Google will share your name, email address, and profile picture with Windows. Before using this app, you can review Windows. To continue, Google will share your name, email address, and profile picture with Windows. Before you...
Okay, so before you can set up an account in Windows Mail, you have to allow access, which is always very important. And I think I can arrow
heading
down.
Heading level 2, this will allow. Heading level 2 button windows. Heading level 2 to colon. List of 3 items. Read, compose, send and permanently delete all your email from Gmail. More info button. See edit. Download and permanently delete your contacts. More info button. See edit. Share and permanently delete all the calendars that you can access using Google Calendar.
Okay.
So it's kind of double checking with you that you know, you want to do this,
yes.
You want to allow Windows Mail to have this level of access to your Gmail, which is pretty standard stuff anyway, isn't it?
It is, and certainly on mobile phones, if you install a new app, it usually starts asking
it asks
for
you those
access,
yep.
You know, and it won't work unless you say okay to the access.
Yeah.
So, eventually...
Heading level 2, make sure that you trust Windows.
Of course I trust Windows. Eventually, you tab to the allow, you can just tab...
Terms of service link. Privacy policies link. Find up allow button.
We get to an allow button and you press enter on the allow button.
Enter allow button to activate. Press spacebar. List box. Google 3 of 7. To move to an item, press the arrow keys. Manage accounts. Add account button to activate. Press spacebar. Button to activate. Press spacebar.
Eventually we've got a done button. So we press enter on that.
Accounts, add a-
and then we... we have our accounts there now. Okay.
Jaws Profet inbox dash yahoo dash mail to move to an item, press the arrow keys. Manage accounts.
Okay, so I'm still in the manage accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two accounts now, and it would take a while for your email to come down from the server onto your machine. So that's why I set up my Yahoo one already. There's just a few settings I might go through just that you might like to change straight off before you start using Windows Mail. So there's one thing where it sends you a notification for everything that's happening. So notification for calendar entries, notifications for new emails, which you may want. But if you were maybe using Windows Mail as a backup and you had Outlook as well, you might not want double notifications happening. You know, you're going to get every new message is going to tell you twice. So I turned them off, actually. So I go down
to notifications. Select an account combo.
So this is in settings. So I'd actually in Mail, I tab to the settings button, press enter, and then you have all these different categories of settings. So if I tab through notifications.
Apply to all accounts, show notifications and the action center button to activate, press space bar.
That's interesting. I have that switched off at the moment.
Space checked.
So then it's checked. So.
Space.
And it's interesting because I think it's only applying to my Yahoo account at the moment.
Apply to all accounts, checkbox not checked.
So if I shift tab, I could check that
space
box.
Checked.
And now it's switched off notifications for all the accounts that I have in that inbox. Okay, and then there's no OK button or anything. As you know, in kind of settings in Windows now, you don't have to OK or reply.
You just close it.
You just come out. So I'll press Escape.
Escape.
Another setting, so that's switching off notifications. There's also a signature that...
Settings, notifications button to activate.
Okay, I just had to tab to kind of focus it there. There's a signature that says it's been sent using Windows Mail. I like to switch them off. I don't really want that on all my emails when I send new emails.
Default font button, signature button to activate, press space bar.
If I arrow back up the signature.
Enter, up dash up, select an account and customize your signature combo box.
And then I can tab.
Apply to all accounts, checkbox not checked.
I think it'll apply to all accounts there.
Use an email signature button checked to activate,
and
press space bar.
And that is use an email signature.
Space.
I'm going to switch that off.
Excellent.
Okay.
Save button.
Oh, look, there's a save button there. Okay. Just we'll press enter on that.
Settings button to activate.
And that's done. And there's a visual thing actually that I found really nice. I actually prefer myself, I don't have a sight condition myself, but I prefer darker backgrounds and light text. So I kind of like high contrast colour schemes. I certainly use it a lot on my phone. I just find it a lot easier on the eyes. And Windows Mail has a colour scheme called dark mode, which is white on black. Generally, it uses kind of blue on black as well, but it is quite a good contrast. So if I arrow down to
personalization,
in the settings.
Enter personalization. Enter. Colors list box. Blue accent color 1 of 11. To move to an item, press the arrow keys.
And you have some color options there.
Grip, red accent. Gray,
if I tab.
Radio button checked. To change the selection, press up or down arrow.
We have some radio buttons, and I've got mine set to dark mode. If I arrow
light
up.
Light mode radio button checked. To change the selection, press up or down arrow.
We have light mode, which is your usual kind of black on white, black text on white background.
Dark mode radio button checked.
Dark is white text on a black background.
Use my Windows mode radio button checked.
Or we've got use Windows, so whatever Windows is set to, it could use that.
Dark mode.
I'll put it back to dark mode, and then I'm going to escape out of here.
Escape personalization button to activate, press space bar.
Brilliant. Well, Sharon, thank you very much. This has been a really interesting first session, and we will have more on future podcasts.
Yes.
We'll be exploring lots of interesting shortcuts and apps.
Great.
And learning how it works with JAWS and Fusion and Zoom Text and all that good stuff.
And we will do a bit more on Windows Mail.
We do more on Windows Mail next time. Okay, Sharon, for the moment, thanks a million.
Great. Thanks, Stuart.
Well, you are listening to Sight and Sounds podcast. It's great to be back with you. And thank you, of course, to Sharon Lyons. It's great to be welcoming new staff to Sight and Sound. We really have some wonderful people on our team and a very dedicated group of colleagues that I'm certainly very fortunate to work with both here in Dublin, serving the Irish market, and of course, right across the UK, Scotland and Wales. Now, remember, if you want to get in touch with us, send an email to podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. We love to hear from you. And if you have any ideas or suggestions, or there's things you'd like us to cover, or you have a question about some of our products, then please do get in touch. If you notice a slightly different sound to this production, well, you would be extremely observant and you'd be spot on. That's because I've been making some changes to my little studio here in advance of the arrival of a new member to our family. We're expecting our first baby at the end of April, so I've had to make a few changes to what was my studio, and as a result some of the recording equipment has been moved around, so some of the acoustics may have changed slightly. I hope it's not detracting from your enjoyment of our podcast. And as I say, if you want to get in touch with us, podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. We really do love to hear from you. Well, as I said earlier, it's all about new starters on this edition of our podcast. We're absolutely delighted to welcome Carla Owen, recently appointed as our sales and marketing manager. And Carla is joining us live from Northampton. Carla, welcome to the podcast.
Cheers, Stuart. Thank you very much. I've listened to your podcast and I think they're absolutely brilliant. So it's a little bit nerve-wracking, but also a great honour to be featured on one.
Wow. If you're listening, maybe you need to get out more. I don't know. Listen, great to chat to you anyway, and thanks for giving us your time. Tell us a little bit, because I know you're very new in Sight and Sound. I think it was early February. What were you doing before you came to Sight and Sound?
Yes, so very new, just over 4 weeks in the business. So before I started here, I actually worked in the telecoms industry. So to be honest, I think that's the only reason that Glenn hired me, because we both had a shared background. But I've, over the sort of course of my career, I've worked in telecoms, water safety, academic publishing, the welding industry. I've worked in bars and restaurants, so quite varied.
You've been through it all, as they say.
Jack of all trades.
So tell us the kind of the experience coming into a company, I suppose a very specialist company like Sight and Sound, and trying to get your head around so many things. Was that daunting?
Actually, I'll be honest, one of the reasons that I chose Sight and Sound as the next step in my career is after I sort of heard about who they were and what they did, it really, really caught me on a sort of moral ground. And, you know, I felt almost compelled to come to a business like this, because you're actually changing people's lives, which I suppose, well, I would like to think that everyone at some point would like to do. But yes, I was sort of pre-warned by Glenn that there is a lot to learn. There's, you know, it'll take 6 months to a year really to learn what all the products do. And it's been a journey so far. Lots and lots to learn. There are so many elements that, I'll be honest, I suppose I was a bit naive to everything before I started in the industry, of just some of the challenges, but also the software and hardware that's available for people that are blind or partially sighted. So yeah, very, very daunting, but definitely a challenge that I'm looking to take on with both hands.
It's an interesting point that you make about kind of coming to the company, because maybe you wanted to, you know, you kind of wanted to make a difference. And I think a lot of people who work in Sight and Sound, you know, there's more than just the 9-to-5, isn't there?
I definitely think so. I think just from speaking to people around the business, and, you know, some of our trainers, our tech support, our DSA admin team, my guys in the sales department, it's just the things that they do when they go, I feel that they go above and beyond to help customers out. Like, for example, our tech support is not a, you know, not a paid for service for people at home. And, you know, and that's something these guys like really go over and above to just help these people. And I think it's amazing. I think the ethos of the company is just incredible.
sales and marketing in a company like Sight and Sound, I suppose sales and marketing in any company is so important. And in a lot of ways, it's that front line, that first point of contact that people are making, maybe the first thing they see, they're looking at some marketing blurb. What are you, I mean, what does your role kind of involve? Because I know it's very broad.
Yes, so it is quite a big role. Again, a little daunting. So currently I'm responsible for the England and Wales sales. So we've obviously got you in Ireland, and we've got Ruth and Caroline up in Scotland, who are responsible for those. So I've got a team of five underneath me. I've got three external sales guys and two internal. So currently, you know, I'll be helping to support them with any large orders and guidance and things like that. And from a marketing perspective, I will be marketing the product portfolio across all of the areas that we cover, including, you know, education, blind and low vision, sort of home users, corporate, and the access to work area as well.
There's a lot of, I suppose, target audiences there. Each audience, I suppose, has slightly different expectations, maybe, and you have to tweak your messages, I suppose, then in different ways.
Yeah, definitely. So although we can use a lot of sort of templated things, so we could use, for argument's sake, posters across all of these channels, it is just tweaking that messaging and just making it most relevant. Obviously, if you're going into a society or a charity where there are sighted people as well as people that are partially sighted, then you know it's a slightly different design, I suppose, than if you were going straight to people that are partially sighted and using magnifiers and things like that. So there are elements that you have to take into consideration, and it's definitely a very niche market when it comes to what you guys do, but also having to take that into consideration when you do the marketing, that, you know, you've got the bigger fonts, you can't, you know, big funky images and things are potentially slightly lost to some of the audiences. It's a little bit difficult, but also quite fun with the challenge all the same.
One of the things I've certainly seen you doing very, very well and very quickly since you started is looking at the internal communications, getting everybody chatting a bit more. It's been really dynamic, and I suspect that's something you want to do more broadly as well for our customers and just how we engage with customers.
Yeah, so from one of the previous companies I was at, we use Microsoft Teams all the time, and it was the best tool that I could have ever used. So just, you know, trying to introduce that into the guys here, and like the newsletter as well, just to try and get a little bit more interaction between the different teams. And I think internal comms is really important just to keep everyone updated. It's been really nice to have some great feedback on that as well. But yeah, also, you know, once we've sort of got that nailed internally, is just pushing that out towards our customers as well. So we've actually got an upcoming campaign. There's an upgrade on the Orcam. So it's, you know, just notifying customers in a effective way to keep them up to date as well.
And I know one of the conversations I've had with you as well is in relation to this podcast, using it as a vehicle by which, you know, we can kind of communicate with more people and looking at ways to add content to that. So I suspect, Carla, you're going to be a regular contributor, by the way. You've probably just signed up for that now, unknown to yourself.
Wonderful. Well, hopefully I won't be quite as nervous.
No, it'll be definitely great to have you. So tell us, when you're not in Sight and Sound, when you're chilling out at the weekend or doing something in the evening, what's your life outside of Sight and Sound? What does Carla enjoy?
So I have to admit, I am one of these people that thinks that their pet is their child. I don't have any children yet, but I do have a 14-month-old Cocker Spaniel called Milo, who is my absolute baby. So pretty much everything I can do with him, so, you know, long walks, taking him to the park, taking him to reservoirs and things like that. I'm actually doing... I'm fundraising at the moment. My father-in-law had quite a horrific accident last year, and I'm doing 30 things before I'm 30, with the aim to raise £3,000 in total for three key charities, I suppose, which helped him. So doing that, there's lots of exercise focused things on there. So training for a half marathon and doing 5Ks and 10Ks and, you know, obstacle course races and things like that, all whilst currently planning my wedding, which is in June, so a lot going on, and just trying to binge watch all 7 seasons of Game of Thrones before the 8th comes out in the next few weeks.
You know, Carla, it sounds like you almost come to work for a break. You know, I think your workout, your life outside work sounds manic, but it sounds great as well.
Yes, sometimes it is considered a break. I think I'm used to running at 100 miles an hour, so anything less is a little bit, it freaks me out slightly. I'm sort of like, why have I not got anything to do? But don't get me wrong, if the first opportunity for a whole day on the sofa doing absolutely nothing, I will completely grab it with both hands.
I completely understand that as well. Listen, it's been great to chat to you. Really great to sort of get to know a little bit about you, about what you're doing in Sight and Sound, how dynamic you are. I know it's going to be of huge benefit to the company. And I as I said earlier, I think you're going to be a regular spot on our podcast. So we're looking forward to continuing to engage with you. But for the moment, Carla, thanks a million for giving us your time.
No problem, Stuart. Thanks very much.
Thanks a million to Carla Owen there. A wonderful addition to Sight and Sound, and really great to be working alongside Carla on the management team in the company. And of course, as well, thanks to Sharon Lyons. Two really great additions to the company in the last month. And of course, remember Sharon's Shortcuts, www.sharons-shortcuts.ie, if you'd like to sign up and have that regular Monday morning shortcut drop in your inbox just before 9 a.m. Great way to start your working or learning week or whatever else you may be doing. Definitely a really good resource and highly recommended. Now, thank you for listening to our podcast. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. And remember, your feedback is always welcome. So do email podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. And coming up on the next edition, as well as meeting more of the people who make Sight and Sound, the company that it is, I'll be introducing you to a new fun Braille learning device called the Taptilo that we're really loving in Sight and Sound, I have to say. So more about that in the next edition. For the moment, this is Stuart Lawler saying thank you for listening. Take care, have a great month, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye bye.